Y'all be venturing into the world of inventory full. Tonight, we be talking about our week one with Sea of Thieves. Also, Street Fighter's getting a television series. All of that and more right now.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
But I'm not crazy. Hi, everybody. Welcome into this week's episode of Inventory Full. Thanks to the fine folks at Popcorn Talk for giving us a place to talk to you about games, gamer culture, and all of the fun, dumb stuff that we get to do on Twitch. I'm one of your hosts, the Internet's Mark Budonica. And I'm here with the rest of my team. Are you stirring it up?
Ahoy, nerds.
Are you hurting?
I'm playing the hurdy-gurdy.
Oh, you're hurting? Yeah.
Am I stirring it up?
I don't know. You're.
That's kind of a... Yeah. Hi, I'm Nate Miller. You can find me on all social media at DoglegNate.
Cool.
That's Stacey.
Hi, I'm Stacey. This is Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles.
Man, Patrick's not here.
No.
He's doing very important things elsewhere. I don't know if we could talk about them, but you can follow him on Twitter at Pete of the D's to find out all of his various adventures. Yo, we finally got a chance to play as a team on... Was it Saturday? It was Saturday. It's been a long weekend. It was a long weekend for you, Tuesday.
It does feel like it was a long time ago.
Yeah.
It feels like much longer than 2 days ago.
I rewatched the entire Harry Potter series this weekend.
I'm sorry.
You are a brave soul.
Because I have a match coming up, and I realized that I hadn't, after watching it, I had never seen Order of the Phoenix, like, ever.
Did you just skip Order of the Phoenix?
I wasn't that big into Harry Potter when it came out. But my wife and I played Lego Harry Potter. So I did...
Got the story.
Kind of. That was before Lego movies had dialogue, so it was all just like, yeah. Anyway, we got to play a lot of Sea of Thieves, a fair amount of Sea of Thieves. You got to play, Nate, you got to play a lot of Sea of Thieves.
Don't shame me.
No.
But we all got a chance to play together, which was really flipping cool. Let's talk about initial thoughts. It's been a week. A lot of people couldn't get in for a period of the time. You can get in, Stacey.
Yep.
No. I played the first night. I didn't do much. I grabbed a sloop and a chicken cage and didn't get too far.
Did you get a chicken?
I didn't get a chicken.
Oh, well, yeah. Then you failed.
Better story from our playthrough. But what were some of the things that you went through trying to get on? Stacey.
I mean, it let me go through all the picking your pirate and, like, booting up. We got our group together, and then it just loaded.
Not even like, hey, there's a thing. Loaded.
Eventually, it took, like, 5 minutes.
Okay.
And then it was like, okay, so you can't. I didn't get any notification, but my crewmates did.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're full, sorry. And so we tried it again. The same thing happened, and then apparently they just had closed it completely for new players. Oof. So if you had already set up and you had played before, you could get in or stay in.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were starting for the first time, out of luck for that night.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That was a Monday night, though.
No,
that was Tuesday.
Tuesday night.
Yeah. Because mm-hmm. yeah. I got home late Monday and didn't even get to play until much later because I forgot to install the game.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we were going to play. Yeah. And then it was like, oh, installing the game.
Right.
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah. But Tuesday, I had a similar experience. I was luckily, I had Tuesday off, so I got on.
That's
and I was
lucky.
Playing like yeah, all day. And then when most of the rest of my friend group got on, it was right at the time when they brought the things back down.
Oh, okay.
So like we left our game to go like join up with them, and then we're like, wait a minute, why can't we launch? And I went to check Twitter, and they're like, if you're already in, you're fine, but if you're gonna start a new, and yeah. I was like, no, I should not have done it for you guys. I could have been playing still.
Damn it.
So that kind of sucked, but it came back up. I mean, playing PC games, I don't know if maybe we experience this more than console players, but this happens on release. You know, like there's no amount of skill test that you can do that will match up to what an actual launch day is, especially with the hype of the console and the crossplay.
Exactly.
And there's just lots of people that just don't do betas. They're not interested in playing a game before it's out. They just play the game when it's out. They don't need to play it right away.
Man, people with budgets, like, oh, I need to know if I'm going to like this game and I get to play it for free. Yo, I'm about it.
Yeah. The Game Pass, I think, it was something that they didn't account for how many people would really just be like, sure, why not? I'll play it and do it just right away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think really one of the biggest parts of the success is the crossplay, being able to almost seamlessly play with Xbox players.
Yeah.
I'm playing with some of my friends that I used to play with years ago on Xbox when I was a console guy that I haven't talked to them in years. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to be able to have a game that we can play and it's casual. You can just jump in. It's not like a, well, I'm this much far ahead and you have to wait for you to catch up or something. You know, you can play the game. Yeah, I've dumped a lot of hours into the game, and you guys picked it up after just playing it for a little bit, mm-hmm. and we got along just fine. You know, you guys got to experience a lot of the stuff. There's no kind of content gating in that regard, which I like. Mm-hmm. But also, like a lot of people have been talking about, I do think there is a lack of content in this game. I think the full price tag is hard to justify. The Game Pass is easy to justify. For launch, yes. Mm-hmm. I see this game, again, being a PC, I've been playing WoW for how many tens of years?
Too many.
I can see the potential in this game and where it's going to go, and I can see the $60 price tag justifying that in the long run. But as of now, there is a serious content drought. And if you don't have a group of friends that are excited to play the game or having fun playing the game, I can easily see how you could burn yourself out and just be done with
it. And I would like it if it was a little bit easier to join people. Like right now, there's the option of small crew, solo, three-person crew, four-person crew. But like we experienced, or I've experienced previously, like Stacey, if you and Robbie are in a crew with other people, Nate, if you're in a crew with the rest of your friends, I'm like, I want to play too, and I can't just be a plus one. You know, right. I think that's something that they'll probably address.
Right, and this is where people say like, oh, it feels like a game that's not complete. This is where I agree with them. Not in the content. I think it looks good. It's complete, but in terms of like the menus and like the simple voice bug, where when you join in, your push to talk isn't on.
Join a
right.
Game.
The way the menus work, mm-hmm. the way the lobby system works, is just very counterintuitive for the play with your friends play style they mm-hmm. want. There's no reason why you shouldn't be able to at an outpost scuttle your ship and be like, okay, now we want a galleon and invite your friends to join in.
Yeah,
like I understand they explained a little bit in their dev update the way their server systems work, but I feel like it's more of a utility issue of them just configuring it that way. It'll make it much easier to play, because it is very frustrating when you get home and you've got three friends on a galleon and they want you to join, but they've got 15 chests and they're still on their second part of their three-part voyage,
and the guy that the person that they kick won't get any. If like you don't want to disrespect that person,
right?
Like then you can open up a system where it's like, well, they get credit even if you kick them, but then why people can abuse that system?
Well, I don't know about that. But either way, people have to leave.
Yeah, that's yeah. But you know what I mean. Like, right. I think they've closed the right doors and opened the right windows as best as they can for right. a launch. I think that and especially for this being a console game as well, I think people don't understand the investment that, while right now this may not be a quote a $60 game, a full $60 game, it will be, and you are investing in the future of that game. And I think it's fun enough to where, like, I even if I don't do anything, if I just have like nobody's available to play, I don't want to play with randos, I can get on a sloop and sail around. And I just like being in that world. Like, that's the thing for me, is if the world is cool enough and fun enough and pretty enough or whatever, interesting enough to be around, I'll just walk around a bunch. Like, GTA 5, I used to just grab a car and drive around Los Angeles.
But here's the thing. Having played the game for a significant amount of time and seen pretty much all the islands,
mm-hmm.
That's a perfect comparison, because you look at GTA and the map and you can spend hours exploring that, because each nook and cranny that you explore is detailed.
Yeah.
And there's quite a few islands that have really cool spaces, but there's nothing that makes you feel like you're rewarded for exploring, at least in my experience. Mm. So once you see these islands on these different voyages, then you just start to see them again.
Well, I also think that they should start, and this is like a future, like, we are at the beginning.
Right.
We're definitely at the beginning, but I think once people start to sail, I think they should, in certain servers, incorporate, oh, the people are talking about this on this Lost Island. It's not on any map, but people say that it's, I think,
well,
like,
it's the Legends Outpost.
But that's what, well, not just the, I'm just giving an example. I know, okay. The Legends Outpost is a thing, yes. And that's hidden. You can find it. But I think as you start to incorporate more stuff, some of the tides may uncover an island that hasn't been seen for 200 years. Yeah. Right. Well, something like that.
And that's what the game's missing, is the little things that you get that kind of reward you for exploring. Mm-hmm. Because right now, the kind of like the foundation is there, but the little the sprinkles on top,
the little extra salt bay, yeah,
are not there.
Yeah. But something that I wanted to talk about with you, Stacey, is we have a clip of your very this is your first voyage.
Very first voyage. We had loaded into the game about 5 minutes previously to do this.
Let's take a look at this, which you can watch the entire stream right here on Inventory Full PT on Twitch.
Yeah, so I'm standing at a main outpost.
Should we just come back to the dock and get me?
Alright. I'm just playing music in the ocean. If I get hit, I'm really
sorry.
Wait,
guys. Oh, wow. Oh, guys, the water's black.
There's a large
guys, the water's
music.
Black.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. What the hell? We've been playing this for 5 minutes.
Why? Guys,
oh,
it's
God.
A Kraken. Guys,
oh my
it's
God.
A Kraken. Jeez. God. What did I do to deserve this?
There's something that this needs.
Yo,
nice. I know what's necessary.
Are you joking?
I mean, I'm not about to swim to the ship and help him.
No, God, no.
He left without us.
Who was on the ship? Just Drew?
Guys, I've barely been out to sea.
Caitlin and I were trying to catch him. So this is the main trading post that we spawned on.
I can see that. Like, my goddamn life depends on it.
All right. Oh, God. So that was your first time logging on. That's your one for one, you see the Kraken.
Yep, immediately.
So then we log on and start playing, and we're sailing. We finally get away from randos. It's the two of us on a galleon, and we start to sail away, and the water goes black. And the music starts to swell. You're two for two on Kraken attacks.
I apparently attract those Kraken. We escaped from this one, though. That one sunk our boat.
but that was the thing.
Way you can defend a galleon from a Kraken by yourself.
We did with two people.
Right.
No, that's wild.
Oh, well, Caitlin died by sharks and got spawned on the ship and then died again to the Kraken.
Well, so here's the thing is, first of all, it's terrifying. Horrifying. It's just to look around and just see the tentacles start to come up, and I was just all of our cannons were loaded already, so like I'm just firing at one, and then I was just back at the back of the ship, and then all of a sudden I'm floating in the air, and I look and I'm like, it got me, holy crap, and I didn't know what to do. I was like trying to get a shot at it to shoot it with my pistol, and I didn't know if it was me wiggling on WASD or if I actually got a shot in, but it eventually dropped me and I made it back to the ship, but it's awful.
Yeah, you know what? It was horrifying watching it in the distance, actually being on the ship when it happened.
Well, no, especially because you're like,
kind of terrible.
Wait, are you not here? So she grabbed the wheel and was like, oh, I don't know. I was like, just keep going. Just keep going.
Get us through the Kraken.
Yeah, we had a similar experience just coming off the end of probably a good 3 hour session where we had done a fort and quite a few voyages where we're sitting on this massive thing. We had some PvP battles where we were trying to get away from people, and we're like, all right, this is it. We're heading for the outpost. On the way to the outpost, there's a sunken ship. Well, we've got to stop at the ship, right?
You gotta.
And as soon as we pull up, the birds disappear and just the water just goes black.
It's a trap!
And we just freaked out. This was 1 a.m. too. So I was, it was pretty scary.
Man, like, so I think that's another thing is as this game progresses, as the game continues, I think we're going to have more than just a Kraken. I think there's going to be some other legendary, like maybe a giant shark or some other sort of legendary beast, I think, maybe. And then you reduce the spawn rate on it, because I think they want people to have these Kraken stories, because two for two, that's crazy.
But I've only had it the one time in the multitude of hours that
so
we
you're
put
saying
into
it's
it.
Me.
I'm just saying that it seems pretty. I don't think it's pretty average. I think you just have exceptionally bad luck.
but also, so when we were playing, it was God. I really wish my computer was strong enough to record, because I was getting into semantics and some crazy things. So there was a bit of a disparity in terms of you and your friend. I forget his name.
Corey.
Had played for the majority, for a lot of the week.
Yeah.
So you had a lot of hours under your belt, and Stacey and I being our first, second time playing the game. So thank you for allowing us to explore and play and things like that. But also that little bit of experience was very was very helpful in sort of like a quick adjustment of here's what you need. Here's what you need immediately. I had a pet pig. Nate didn't want me to keep the pig. I didn't feed all of our bananas to it. Just
pigs are
just
not
most
pets.
Of them.
About 80%. About 80%. That's. I mean, we were on our way back.
For reference, you need bananas to live in the game.
No, you need bananas. As long as you don't get hit, you're fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Korean
so,
strength.
So
advice.
So I named the pig Nate's Lament. And I kept him in his captain's quarters on the bed. It's the most comfortable, warmest place. We were starting to take on water. Again, just want to make sure that
where you should
he's
put
comfortable.
Pigs.
You know where else you shouldn't put pigs? Into the fucking ground. You shot the damn pig.
I put the pig out of its misery, okay? It's not. We are not there to keep pigs captive.
Damn.
That's not. It's not called Sea of Pirate Captive Pig Owners.
Of course it's not called that because that's a terrible name.
It's a terrible name. And there's a reason why they didn't choose that name.
You know what's a better name? Bay of Pigs. I'll work on that. But
put that back through. Do the workshop.
Can I get that on a? Can somebody clip that for me, please?
But let me just some of the stuff that I wish y'all could have seen me do. Stacey saw a little bit of it, where I was just like, "Don't worry, I've like." Coming to shore with the pig. Like, don't worry, take care of it.
I figured that you would take it with you.
Mark carried the cage with the pig.
Everywhere.
Everywhere he went.
Yeah, she's you adorable. Also forgot to mention how you killed yourself after.
Killed the pig and I killed myself with the cage. Cause
yeah, he lived with the cage, I couldn't get a pet pig. I wanted my pet pig.
Yeah. Zivader in the chat says, pirates can have pets. Yeah, they can.
Not pigs.
I'd put a pig on my shoulder if I could.
You train it well enough to stay right there.
Exactly.
It's perfect.
Thank you. Thank
I'm on board
you.
With this
it's just
idea.
A short, fat chest with legs.
You're a short, fat chest with legs. How? What?
My captain's chest, at least.
You are the chest of 1,000 grogs.
I'm okay with that.
This
okay.
is a good chest.
I'm okay with that. And thank you for teaching the puke bucket strat, which was
yes. Solid. No. Quick advanced Sea of Thieves strats. If you get drunk and vomit on somebody, it will make them vomit. And since vomit is a liquid and you can catch liquids with your bucket, you can catch the vomit and just throw it at someone and block their vision. But more importantly, since it makes them vomit, you can just have two buckets and just catch vomit and just perpetually create vomit.
That's the important part.
Right.
Well, it's good for PvP.
Yeah. I mean, someone's coming at you. They got their sword. They're ready to dash. Whip your bucket out. And be like, why is this guy going to throw water on me? And then he gets a bunch of green in his face and can't see.
Or you have somebody take one for the team and drink a bunch so that three people can get their buckets filled. And then they sober up.
Well, you only need... Yeah, well, I guess. I see what you mean.
When you start
your adventure, the first thing you should do is fill your vomit buckets.
Bam, 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 bam. It's like that Family Guy episode with the Epicac. That is very correct, Zivi. Regardless, I do agree that if you're playing solo or you're not playing with a group of friends, it's a completely different experience and not as fun. But highly recommend playing with folks. But it is a very fun game. Maybe if you're not that much into it, wait for a sale. It'll probably happen sooner than later. Or get it on Game Pass because it works for PC and Xbox. But if you want to play Sea of Thieves with us, let us know because it's fun.
It is fun.
It's really fun. We all talk on Discord, so if you're not joined to our Discord as well, you can find the links down below our... Yeah, you can find it down below on this page. I was just double-checking. I was looking down in my mind. We talked a lot about Sea of Thieves, but did anybody play anything else this weekend?
I played a lot more Assassin's Creed.
Did you? Did you get it farther in the story? Or just...
Yeah, cats? So actually I did. I played a lot of the main storyline, and then I hit that point where they're like, hey... Just so you know, if you keep going now, you won't ever be able to go back to the way things were. At which point I go, no, and run backwards into the world. I mean, I know it doesn't mean it in that way. Yeah, it like straight up tells you, hey, once you do this, you know, you can't come back here. Or like you can't come back to the way things are.
Yeah. I know where you're at. Just do it.
I mean, I will, but I went, I need to get all the question marks. I have to do all the side missions, and I ran away very quickly. So I'm back lost in the side missions, causing trouble.
Well, at least you got to that point.
What level are you?
I did it. 39 right now.
Yeah,
almost
you're
40.
Done.
Yeah.
Just finished the game.
Did you play anything else, Nate?
Not really. Just cool. Lots of Sea of Thieves. Well, I played some League, but a lot of Sea of Thieves. Oh, I did play the special event for PUBG. They had a special limited time.
Yeah, I actually we're going to talk about that. Oh. Yeah. No, it's fine. But like that could transition
I'm
us.
Sorry, Mark.
I would be too. No. We'll talk about that in a second. I finally beat Breath of the Wild.
Hey.
Yeah. Really cool final boss fight. Really cool final boss fight with Ganon in a couple of forms. And it's one of those things where you could go in and rush, and like you don't have to finish the Divine Beasts or anything. You just go in and fight Ganon if you're good enough. But if you're playing this for the first time, the reward that you get for, oh, I know that attack pattern because I fought against this. I know that attack pattern because I fought against this. I know how to beat this. I know how to beat that. Was really cool of like, oh, I explored the world. I figure, and I know how to do this from experience other than shoot the glowing area because of a thing. You're like, oh no, that's from that boss and that's from that boss. And it was cool for the game to just naturally be like, hey, we're going to thank you for playing the game,
right,
by showing you all
the
stuff.
Reward you for the time you spent learning how to get good at the game.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I felt like I didn't waste any time, even though there were nights where I would just like be farming arrows or beating mini bosses for resources or stuff like that. I felt like all of that was worth it. All of that time was well spent. Okay. And I'm going to take a break from it and in a couple of months go back to the DLC and play a little bit more, because that those characters, that world, it's all something that I like being lost in, and that's the first Legend of Zelda game in a while to do it. And I would say 100% a Switch must buy. Yeah, it's something to get a Switch for.
Switch buy?
Mm-hmm. It's a Switch buy! I'm going to skip this first story because I wanted Patrick to talk about that. But long story short, Ubisoft lives to fight another day, and it kind of made it made a little bit of a deal with Tencent.
With the devil, you mean?
Yeah. So here's the thing: is Vivendi holds
that realization this week of how much Tencent really owns. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they own part of Epic too.
Yep.
So
yep.
They own part of both Fortnite and PUBG. That's wild.
It's a lot. So Vivendi wasn't able to get the controlling interest in Ubisoft. So as a result, they're slowly going to be selling off their shares. They sold a lot back to the Guillemot brothers, which represent the controlling party. And then Ontario Teachers Pension Plan is going to be a long-term investor, which is a really interesting organization. They're acquiring 3.4%, and Tencent acquired 5% of the company, but neither is getting a seat on the board of directors. Hmm. It's just sort of like
for now,
but it's just kind of a show of good faith, and Ubisoft is trying to get into the Chinese market. They didn't say with what franchises.
Until Tencent buys out the teachers, Ontario teachers.
You know what? They deserve it, though. See, we got to help those teachers in Ontario. But, we don't know what that means for Ubisoft in China, but luckily they're able to keep control of their company, which is pretty solid, which is pretty great. Fortnite is adding a replay feature, and they released a video, which we're just going to kind of watch in the background, utilizing something. This video was cut with the feature that's going to be implemented in the game proper.
Is that as an editor in the game also?
It's going to be in-game. So you'll
the
be
editor. A video editor in-game, or it's just the replays?
New tools are aimed at content creators who want in-game cinematic features and players who want to revisit recorded matches. Okay, so it's just replay.
Okay.
It's replay, right, okay. But I figure... illustrating how players will be able to edit footage and control in-game cameras via a streamlined gamepad-compatible interface. Oh, so yeah, you'll be able to edit it as well.
Wow, that's news. So, I don't really care about them getting a replay, but being able to edit
in-game
in client is that's a big deal.
Yeah, and the footage looks super solid. I wonder if you could just export it. I wonder if you can just export it so that if you have Premiere or Final Cut or whatever, you can do whatever you want with it. But
sure.
It looks really cool. The Unreal Engine replay system. So it's not like Fortnite specific, much like Fortnite is.
It's just an Unreal Engine ad.
Exactly.
Is Fortnite is.
So then this will be the popular. This is a way to implement that system, and it looks cool.
Looks fun.
Yeah. It looks like it. One of the things with Sea of Thieves that I'm sad about is like on Xbox, at least, I used to be able to go, Xbox, record that. And it was like, okay, I recorded the last 5 minutes. Do with it what you want. I wish more, like, I like how Overwatch does it, where I wish it was a little bit more open, but how they do highlights, where even if you're not playing on the most optimum system, which I'm not, I can still save it in 60 frames a second and like a solid chunk of footage that I can then do whatever I want with. But yeah, I think it's cool. It's machinima again. Essentially.
Yeah. And people do stupid things in Fortnite.
I mean, this is not like...
Yeah. I mean, it's not...
PUBG has this too.
Do they?
Yeah, they had this... Last year, they had this.
I thought that was just you could replay what happened. Do they let you download and...
Yeah, I mean, you get the footage. You can't...
Can you, like, control UI?
There's no in-client editing, but yeah, you can control UI, you can control cameras, you can move the camera on wherever you want, you know, you can... Speed up, fast forward.
Because this is just another thing that they're second play. They're following in PUBG's footsteps for.
I mean, it's not a. PUBG is not the first one to do replays. I mean, maybe in the BR space they are. I wouldn't say that they're following them. I'm just saying that replays are not impressive to me as a feature as much as an in-game editor, especially one that's tailored so that people on controller, because this reminds me of like Halo Forge mode with their theater, which was really interesting to mess with at the time, because there's not really a lot of different things that you can do like outside of that with that footage, unless you had a capture card and you were putting it in your computer to edit it. Now it's way easier to capture stuff and put it on your PC to edit on your own.
But then also you're not as interested in. Or rather, let me rephrase that. How interested are you in general when it comes to not just Fortnite but PUBG or anything utilizing this footage in an entertainment aspect?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Is I really like machinima, and one of the things that I think was really cool about the PUBG's replay system is just the nature of that game, the realism and stuff. Mm-hmm. I think it actually makes for a visually interesting thing to watch, the way people play. Mm-hmm. And this, the way the colors and stuff are kind of matte, it's a very like filmic look. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you look at Fortnite, it just looks like a cartoon, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but watching Ninja play this game is confusing from just his perspective. And that's just what he's doing.
Yeah.
Let alone watching people play like a wide out camera of people building these towers at each other. It just doesn't seem very visually appealing. Mm-hmm. Now, if people are going to use the space to make machinima, not just highlights, that could be very interesting, especially because you can build things in Fortnite. So you could really make whatever building space you need for your set pieces, whatever. And there's tons of cosmetics and costumes and stuff. But can you put your gun away in Fortnite? Pickaxe otherwise. And
you can take out bandages and then you're technically not holding anything.
I guess. And there are some emotes that could express some stuff too. I don't know. I just don't. This just to me seems like Epic is a huge studio. Well, not huge, but they're a big studio and they're able to pump out content. They have people that work on stuff. And this is just another thing that they're putting out to keep Fortnite in the news, to keep it popular.
Sure.
Because I honestly see a decline in this coming at some point soon.
In BR in general or Fortnite?
Maybe in BR in general, but definitely in Fortnite. Because I don't think there is enough content to keep people playing as much as they keep throwing costumes and, you know, new systems to develop and special modes and stuff. I'm not sure it's going to last.
I think the free and the mobile, I think for both Fortnite and PUBG, I think the mobile is going to help keep it alive for a little while longer.
But in the streaming sphere or just as far as people playing
it? I think people playing it. Streaming, I mean, everything's going to ebb and flow.
I really don't think that the Fortnite mobile thing is going to take off. I think it'll... I mean,
see teachers complaining about it ruining
classes? No, I know. I mean, I'm not saying kids are going to play it, but I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be like a Pokemon Go thing. It's out, new, especially right now. It's invite only, so you have to have a code to get in. I think once the hype dies down, there will be a small player base for it that consistently plays it. But I don't think it's going to be wildly popular because having played both the PUBG and the Fortnite one, the PUBG one controls much better, and plus you don't have to worry about the building is way more important than shooting in Fortnite, and the building interface while trying to move and like select what you want to build and stuff, I found it very counterintuitive. So maybe they update that and that makes it more easy to play, but it just seems like a...
Because like right now it seems just like a limited access beta.
Yeah.
Really. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And they're going to optimize it and then maybe put it out.
That being said, it looks stunning.
Yeah.
For a phone. It's crazy. For an online phone game, it looks really good.
Yeah. So, I like some of these stories because it allows us to sort of pivot into other things here and there. But speaking in terms of... and we're going to talk about PUBG in a second. Actually, yeah, I'm going to reverse the order of these. Speaking of things trying to keep people alive in the Battle Royale space, we didn't talk about it on the show because it came out on sort of like a busy week. But did anybody see the new game mode that H1Z1 is putting out there?
Was this the auto?
Yeah, the auto survive.
It's been like that for a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. It's just we haven't been able to talk about it. But yeah. It's four people in a... It's a squad in a car, and it's just car-on-car survival.
I was looking at it.
It's getting over pretty well.
I like driving stuff, so I kind of want to play. I don't really have anybody to play it with. Mm-hmm. Plus, I've just heard so many awful things about H1Z1, and I've seen... Like, I know how it looks like. I've seen... I watch Doc play it sometimes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I want to try it. It sounds cool, but like a cool feature in a really awful game is not...
Well, it is something that's differentiating it from... It was the leader in the space until PUBG came out.
Right.
And they've got a feature that if it goes over well enough, we're probably going to see start to be implemented in Fortnite and in PUBG and all the other BR games.
Yes. So there are no vehicles in Fortnite yet. But as far as PUBG, I could easily see them with their special modes thing that they're doing now. Mm-hmm. Have a mode where everybody has to be in a car and they're just driving around the map.
Yeah, people have tried to set up games like that.
Yeah,
I mean, where you ride around in the car. So I can absolutely see Death that Race being a big on thing YouTube. In PUBG. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Custom server stuff.
So talking about PUBG, they recently started this event mode thing, whether it's in response to Fortnite's events or has been something that's been in the works is to be seen. But you got a chance to play it. What were the rules? What were the parameters? How was it?
It was good. It was, you know, the game has changed a lot, is what I will say. The community
since launch too, yeah.
Yeah, it's odd. It's weird. It used to be like some of the most toxic, and not even just like personally toxic, but just overall people just... There's this overwhelming feeling of just say whatever you want in PUBG proximity chat because no one really knows who's talking, I think is what it is, the anonymity that people like. But the first thing that struck me when I loaded into this, I loaded in solo to the 8v8 double AR spawn on Aaron Gill third person. And, you know, was filled with seven other random guys. And everybody was really cool. And like, hey, guys, where do you want to go? Oh, hey, number five, you need some 5.6 for your... M4, like it was like
they talk about that inflection the whole time.
It was so bizarre.
Just like
hey,
so that was fun. I don't know. It's a step in the right direction. It didn't really feel that much like a special mode, but some of the gunfights were definitely different than anything I've ever experienced. 2 8-man squads in like you know Severny is a different type of combat than fours because that's a lot of angles, that's a lot of corners, that's a lot of gunfire. And it was interesting, the 2 times we made it pretty late, we had like one of the fuller squads where we had like 7 people, but there's like 17 people left. Mm. So I'm like, we're either going to run into another full squad and like just a few stragglers, or it's just going to be like us and then like 2, 2, 2, 2, 2. So it makes a very interesting...
You don't know what you're dealing with.
Yeah, trying to figure out what approach... Are they going to be stocked up in those 2 buildings? Are they going to be just 2 guys out in the mountains hiding in the trees? It was interesting. But I like that they're trying to play with this to make like special reasons to play because, to be honest, I haven't played PUBG in a while.
Mm.
And that this was the main reason that got me to play the game again.
Stacey, as somebody who plays a lot of Fortnite, what has this... And I know you've played PUBG too in the past. Mm-hmm. Did hearing about the special events make you go, oh, let's head back to PUBG for a little bit? Or are you enjoying your time in Fortnite?
I mean, we've switched mostly over to Fortnite. PUBG, I guess, I mean, I'm willing to go back to it, especially if they've kind of cleaned up from, you know, launch day. It's been a while since I've played PUBG. It just, you know, it was very glitchy for a very long time, and it just got very frustrating to play. And I like the kind of, oh, this is silly and more fake in Fortnite. That goes more with my gaming preferences.
Right.
I'm still very, very bad at Fortnite. But the modes are the most fun. When they did the 20v20, you know, five teams of 20 on the field, that was one of the most fun, like, experience I've had playing Fortnite because of how it changed the, you know, the dynamics and how you fought. You know, and having more backup always helps when you tend to get knocked out pretty fast.
Oh, but, you, I mean, you get knocked down, then you get up again. They're never going to keep you down. But I really wish that... My thing, I mean, it's a special event and they're trying to get people to play, but I wish they would last a little bit longer because I haven't played much Fortnite. I enjoy it. The same thing with PUBG. I haven't played much. I enjoy it. I think it's, I feel a lot more, tense playing PUBG than I do Fortnite.
Oh, yeah.
But, for Fortnite, like when we were at the Video Game Awards and they're like, this weekend, 50v50, I was like, great, I won't be able to play that. And they have, as far as I know, they haven't brought that back, right?
No, and yeah, I really wish they did last longer because they did a blitz mode just recently too, and that one was a lot of fun. It was like double drops, the circle moved way faster, everything was just sped up. And those were some fun, intense games too. But yeah, they only last a couple of days sometimes.
Yeah, that's
and
the thing.
You don't get a chance to really enjoy it when that's the case.
Now, if they do, if they still have those special events on the mobile game and I'm able to just pull it out and play on my phone.
It's the same account. You share all the same stuff.
That actually, that's like a point towards me trying out the mobile game once it launches.
I can give you the invite code.
Yeah, give me your invite code. Damn it.
Can you run it on your phone?
I don't know, maybe. I don't know. I guess I'll find out.
Is that, was that a six?
Nope. It's a cheapo one. Anyway. No,
definitely not is the answer.
But yeah, it's interesting that we're getting some similarities. Like, I like how, despite the amount of games in the Battle Royale space, they're still pushing each other, whether it's directly or indirectly.
I also like that they're carving a little more of their individual lanes, too. I think the communities are starting to get more of a handle on, I mean, they're always going to be compared, but the obvious differences between Fortnite and PUBG and that they're going for different things. PUBG is very much focused on the realism. They've been adjusting their scopes to change. They're working on their bullet drop, all the things of that nature.
And they're adding a flare gun soon too, right?
Well, that's going to be for one of the special modes.
One for the events. Okay.
Yeah. But
man, if you can fire that at somebody, light them on fire.
But they did. They just did a new patch that they're adding the region lock in.
Really?
Which is something that is a big deal.
That's pretty big. Yeah.
Along with some balance changes and also weapon skins are coming now too.
Weapon skins, I can understand. Okay. But the region lock, though, I think that keeps the level of play high. While I do think that it could interfere with like entry level people if, you know, it's inherent that some people from different countries are better at games. That's a thing. But yeah, I wonder how that will affect if people willing to give it a try or not.
Yeah.
Anyway, really quickly, something this is strictly for me because Patrick's not here and he has a Switch. But the 2018 Nindies, first set of Nindies were announced for the Switch. And one of my favorite puzzle games of all time.
What's a Nindy?
Nintendo Indie. Nindy. So this game, it's a very simple puzzle game. It's called Lumens. I call it Lumines because that makes it sound cooler. But it's a music.
Get this game's marketing team on the phone.
It's a music based puzzle game where you have to make squares. And every
music Tetris.
Kind of. Every couple of beats, like maybe like 30-40 seconds, you're playing at a certain beats per minute, and it accelerates how fast either the bricks drop or the clear line goes. But it's pretty easy to pick up and play. The style changes enough to be a different experience every time. And it's getting a remaster that's not just heading to the Switch, but is also heading to PS4. I think Xbox One as well, and PC. But this is one of the things that made me really, really play my PSP back in the day. Or my Vita, sorry. It was early Vita. And I flippin' love it. And the fact that it's still technically handheld, I flippin' love it. A couple of other big things announced from the Nindies. I'd say the biggest thing is they're getting Banner Saga 3 to the Switch. And if you... the entire trilogy is hitting this summer. The first two will come a little bit earlier, so you have a chance to play it. And then set up your characters and stories and such so that when Banner Saga 3 comes out, all the story stuff will be in place. There's a game called Bomb Chicken coming out. Lightfall, West of Loathing, Pode, The Messenger, Bad North, Pool Panic, Garage, Just Shapes and Beats, Fantasy Strike, and Mark of the Ninja Remastered. It's cool to see them take advantage of all of these independents, and Nintendo is now starting to be a place where independents show up first is something that I didn't think we'd be seeing, but the Switch has really, really changed people's ideas about that. Is there any game? I mean, Night in the Woods is out on Switch. That's arguably the most important thing.
True story.
But is there anything that you've seen that could hit the Switch, or that you want to see hit the Switch, even though you two that could make you go, you know what? Yeah, I'll get a Switch if I get to play that game again.
I think all the games that were like some of my big, oh, this will be fun on the Switch, have started making their way over.
They're already there.
They've been doing a pretty good job of putting games that fit the Switch, you know, how the Switch operates.
I'm pretty sure it's not there, but I think Pyre would be amazing for the Switch.
Yeah, I was just trying to think about the mechanics of that game, because that would be one that would be amazing to have portable, like to be able to carry around with you. And I think that would work really well.
I think it would. I think it would.
I think it would be fine. Yeah, I think the controls could translate really well to a Switch system, especially in the handheld version.
Yeah.
So that would be a really nice one to see on the Switch.
Yeah, yeah, that would be great. Nate, do you have an idea of one?
Is there a new Fire Emblem game announced?
Well, they're doing the Dynasty Warriors style one. That's coming out, but not like a classic. They did announce that there will be a Fire Emblem game coming out for the Switch, but there's no info on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was trying to think, because I've never really been the biggest Nintendo fanboy. Mm-hmm. Smash is really like the only Nintendo game that I really mess with. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe a Star Fox.
But no, but I mean like an independent game. Like something that would be like a show of good faith of like, oh, they're dealing with this company, maybe Nintendo's not so bad. Hearthstone. Just thinking about that
would be interesting. Yeah. I just don't know if Blizzard would go for that.
I mean, if there's a game to put on a Nintendo portable,
it would be that hard. Yeah, I mean, Diablo also would play good on the Switch, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they've already, Blizzard is already experimenting with, or already has been experimenting with consoles with PS4 and Xbox One. So I don't see why. I bet at E3 this year, if we don't hear something from Blizzard, we won't hear something from Blizzard on Nintendo for a while. But that,
yeah, I mean, they could also they could do it at BlizzCon too.
They could do it at BlizzCon. But isn't E3 first?
Yeah. I'm saying they could do it.
But they usually
later.
Save a lot of their big announcements. Yeah. Really. They have a very small.
They just pretend.
Small showing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Here's what we're showing. Everyone's like, oh, cool, Blizzard. Cool.
Okay. Just wait till BlizzCon.
Come, Templings. Come.
Actually.
It's one of my favorite game shows College Humor does. It's called Actually, where the host says like an incorrect fact, and in order to buzz in, you have to say actually, and then give the correct answer. It's really silly, really stupid. Nerdy! Speaking of nerdy, boy do I love Street Fighter. In a very interesting announcement over this past week, Entertainment One and Mark Gordon closed a deal to develop, produce, and finance a television series adaptation of the popular Street Fighter video game franchise. It's going to utilize the storyline of Street Fighter II, World Warrior, and it's going to have the team behind one of the best video game adaptations. I'm not saying movie, I'm just saying video game adaptations. The team behind the Street Fighter Assassin's Fist series. And if you haven't seen it, we've got a little bit of a trailer that's going to be playing on our video component. But as a Street Fighter fan and a fan of the Street Fighter lore, the attention to detail when it came to character elements, as well as just how the fighting looks and how to utilize the various moves of Ryu Ken, Goken, and Akuma, spoiler, in the show, while making them look like actual fighting moves and not just silly fighting style stuff. is really badass. And seeing this, seeing Ryu and Ken train is not something that we usually see, in their initial, as initial students, isn't something that we've seen in the games. And I'd say, just as somebody who, anybody out there who is just a fan of games and fighting games, or even not fighting games, but just a fan of cool sort of fantasy stuff, go check out Assassin's Fist if you haven't. It's on the Machinima Network. But after they made this 12-episode series, they started to develop a World Warrior series with Machinima. And then everybody went, hey, wait. And so now they have a really good production team and a team that is dedicated to getting this story right, handling it. Let me see. I didn't see a, yeah, there's no word on release, but it's signed, sealed, delivered. Yoshinori Ono, who is the producer for Street Fighter, is on board as well. But oh man, this, I'm super excited for this. Has there been any online shorts or anything for a franchise that you enjoy that you've wanted to see get turned? Stacey, did you see something?
I don't, a lot of games don't get very many shorts. I mean, with the exception of Blizzard shorts.
Yeah, there was the Mortal Kombat series a couple of years ago. It's just a lot of fan stuff that sometimes gets the attention that it deserves and sometimes it doesn't. There's a short a couple of years ago, Portal Still Alive, that was really good by Dan Trachtenberg, the guy who ended up going on to direct Cloverfield, or Cloverfield Lane, I should say. But sorry to go back to the well again, but a Night in the Woods short, whether it's people or animated or something. What do you want to see come to life on screen, or are you good with it being interactive and just leaving it in the gaming space?
I just don't like, this is cool and all, and some of that looks cool, but people don't play Street Fighter for the story. So
some do.
Trying,
you're isolating a part of the group.
I don't think so.
Street Fighter,
I'm not
5.
Saying that, I'm not saying that people don't enjoy the story, mm-hmm. but no one gets Street Fighter for the story. They may get it for the fighting and also really like the story and like the characters, but the majority of it is the fighting.
One of the biggest things to happen on Street Fighter V's launch is that it didn't have a story mode. And the bit of story that it did launch with wasn't enough to the point where the community
right.
spoke out.
Right.
And then they developed the rest of the story stuff that was missing and extended it and made it a lot more substantial than what it launched with.
Right.
So I'd say it depends on who you talk to.
But I think that has I don't think that's a case of them coming to the game for the story as much as that is them previously games already having a story mode,
mm-hmm.
and now they're paying for a new version of the game that is full priced and it's coming with less features than previous iterations. I think that's more of that case of when the game launched, it was literally just the verses and there wasn't even that many characters and it wasn't even balanced very well.
As somebody who was in those trenches, it was the fact that it was not a story mode.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got that game at launch and was real sad. Because one of the best things about 4 is it had anime
right.
intros and outros
right.
to really sort of, and then little scenes sort of sprinkled in and in between. And it's one thing, hey, cool, Fireball, but it was... Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo having a story and each character is having an ending was pretty revolutionary for the right. time. And so I think people sleep on it because of how big the competitive community is. But I think Street Fighter and story go hand in hand.
I mean, I understand where you're coming from and mm-hmm. I see how, from your personal experience, does
and as a member of the Street Fighter community,
right, means a lot to you. But you know, this is the paradox of fighting game lore.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, I've played those Street Fighter games also. I also finished Street Fighter 2 with multiple characters, mm-hmm. and the story changes based on who wins.
Exactly.
So it becomes very hard to establish a set lore and storyline, and also even relationships when from game to game, from ending to ending, these things kind of change. Mm-hmm. Same thing, same. It's the same issue with Tekken. It's the same issue with Soul Calibur. It's the same issue with even Marvel vs. Capcom, as hard as it is to get any cohesive story from that. Anyways, yeah. Each ending is different. Mm-hmm. So inherently in the nature of a fighting game, the story is not the core driving mechanic. It's not to get from A to B. It's to have a good, fun fighting system with a variety of characters that make people want to play the game.
Agreed. Also, one of the defining anime movies of the 90s is the Street Fighter II movie, which yes. helped sort of cement
yes.
those storylines that were sort right. of straw. And so I think that
but that's a flash in the pan, because that is really good.
No, agreed. But the
animation also helped out a lot.
I think that this dive into another medium will help to go, all right, this is what the story is, and sort of reestablish that. Sort of like how Mortal Kombat 9 and 10 did.
If they were doing, if they got the One Punch Studio to do a Street Fighter anime, so down. Because I want to see the characters throw these massive punches and mm-hmm. the wind swirl and these giant Hadoukens and stuff. And
watch Assassin's Fist, man.
I mean, I will. I've seen, I think I saw the first episode, but I don't think I've seen the whole thing.
I think they have a there's a way of capturing it that we haven't seen, and I think sticking to a TV show as opposed to a movie is a much better
idea. I like
idea.
That they're mm-hmm. getting this opportunity to expand on their story, that mm-hmm. someone saw what they did and they're like, we like that. We want to help you do something like that, but even better.
So hopefully they'll really pick it cool. up. Was there anything that you could think of, or do you want to keep stuff in the creative, in the interactive space?
I mean, nothing that I can think of at the moment that I like need. So I think we're
satisfied with it. I think similar to Overwatch, I'd like to see some Sea of Thieves shorts.
Those would be fun.
Yeah. Establish some lore.
And I think anywhere where you have characters that are, you know, kind of more side characters that don't really get fully fleshed out, any of those, I would take countless stories to kind of give their background, let you know that character more. So, I mean, you know, if you go that route, apply it to Pyre, for example. We were talking about that earlier. I want to see extended life stories for most of those characters.
How they got into the position that they did.
I mean, yeah, you finish that game and they're all your like favorites, and you love them all. And yeah. I would watch those stories.
That's a good point. Man, Pyre is one that sticks with you, isn't it?
Oh, still not over it. It's been a couple months.
Well, unfortunately, we have to get over the remaining time that we have on this show. Let us know what you think. If you're interested in the Street Fighter series, if you've seen Assassin's Fist, let us know either in the comments down below or on Twitter. You can tweet at all of us at InventoryFullPT. And share the show. Share the show with everybody so that we can get these conversations even larger. But until next time, Stacey, where can the folks find you?
You can find me all over the internet at Stacey Shuttles. I'll also be streaming on Inventory Full PT on Twitch because Far Cry 5 comes out tomorrow.
Tonight.
Well, okay. It comes out tonight. It is pre-downloaded. I will be streaming it tomorrow during the day, all day.
Hell yeah.
We can do some co-op.
All about
creepy
it.
Crazy co-op.
Yeah.
How about you, Nate?
Hey, I'm Nate. You can find me on all social media, DogLikeNate. Also, just this week starting doing the after show for Silicon Valley. So if you watch that show on HBO, it's super funny. Check me out on AfterBuzz. We talk all about it.
And I'm Mark B. Donica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark B. Donica. I do a lot of wrestling stuff over on AfterBuzz TV. Xbox 12360 this week is going to be pretty cool. We have JR Jim Ross, the voice of a generation, joining us. It was a very fun interview. Y'all should check it out. Also check out Patrick at P to the D's. Thanks to the fine folks here. Make sure to follow, subscribe, all of that stuff. Help support the show, and we'll support you back with some more content. Make sure to follow everybody at The Popcorn Talk. Thanks for giving us a studio to work with. We love you, and we'll see ye on the open seas.
For producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.